Have you missed me as much as I've missed you? Well, to be fair, if you're subscribed to my YouTube, you probably haven't missed me at all. But guys, welcome back to the Growing Pains podcast. I'm your host, Allison LaRue. Thank you so much for joining. I miss you to absolute death. I haven't realized how much I've missed podcasting until this very moment when I got my microphone out and sat down and I was like, wait, this is the love of my life after all. So I'm super excited to be back. I have a lot of big plans for the podcast in 2024. But before I get into that, I just want to say if you aren't subscribed to my YouTube, you should definitely go subscribe. I do weekly vlogs on there. I did almost daily vlogs throughout December, so you have a lot of content to catch up on. If you have not known what I've been up to, first of all, I love you to death. If you just know me through this podcast, wow, that's so cool. That's so cool. Basically, long story short, I believe the last time you heard a podcast from me, I was living in Raleigh. Did go ahead and move. I moved to Boston. And if you've been following me or listening for a really long time, you may know that that is something I've been working towards for so long. Regardless of where I was moving to or traveling to, Boston was always in the back of my mind. So I'm so glad to be back. And I'm just so excited. I feel like this is really just the beginning. There's so many exciting things that are going to be coming. But my main priority for this year is staying on top of my content, prioritizing my YouTube, my podcast, things like that. And I'm just really excited. So please let me know in the comments below or DM me. I believe, honestly, now I think with Spotify, you can submit questions and things like that. So let me know what kind of episodes you want to see from me. That is something I've struggled with this podcast, is I feel like I've talked about everything under the sun. I feel like I've ran my mouth for probably 1,000 hours at this point. And I'm like, I don't know what to talk about anymore. But I am going to start having guests on, which is something I'm so excited about. And this is still going to be a very much so like self-improvement, personal development type of podcast. But I don't know. I'm just excited to see where it takes me. My YouTube is way more lighthearted. This podcast has always been about just like the growing pains and not necessarily me trying to give you advice. I think it was that for a really long time until recently I've realized I'm in no position to give people advice because I'm still trying to figure it out. So I'm just going to be telling you what I've learned, which is this podcast. Anyways, let me take a sip of my coffee. So today's episode is on attachment styles, dating anxiety, how to have a good first date, things like that, and just what I've learned over the past year. So I get a bit of background. I've been single now for, oh my God, 5 years. I have been single and touched a pie for 5 years. Perfect. Yeah, I've only ever been in one relationship, and we've been down this road before. I don't even really count it as a relationship. It was in high school. It wasn't a relationship. So in that relationship, I was very anxiously attached. And if you don't know anything about the attachment styles, that is completely fine. We're going to dive into them in a second. I also do have an entire YouTube video that I believe is like 30 minutes long, all on the attachment styles. And I will leave a link to that in the description. But also, if you're on YouTube, it'll pop up here somewhere. So definitely go watch that if you want to learn more about that. There's also a book that I read called Attached by Dr. Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. I may have made both of their names up. That'll also be linked below. That's where I learned everything I know about the attachment styles. It changed my life. But basically, in that relationship, I was very anxiously attached. And then when it ended, I was like, what the absolute hell? I never want to feel like that again. Because I'm a very independent person. I feel very secure in myself. But I got into that relationship and it was just like, well, to be fair, I was also a child and I was not secure at that point in life. But I just knew I never wanted to feel like that again. And in my mind, the only way I knew how to never feel the way I did in that relationship was to never get into another relationship. So I sort of swore off dating as a whole. And I became very hyper independent. I was very codependent. I became very hyper independent, very avoidant to all forms of intimacy, all forms of love. I was really isolating myself because I was so scared. And I'm a person who tends to do that, where in order for me to learn something, I have to experience both extremes. So I went from being super anxiously attached, super codependent, to very hyper independent, very avoidant. And the past, I'd say 3 years, I've been working my way into the middle to find that secure attachment style, to where I am healthily dependent on others, but also healthily independent. independent. And it's been a journey, but I've done that in every area of my life. And honestly, I kind of want to make a whole episode on that alone, of learning to find healthy balance, because I'm a very much extreme person and I need to experience both extremes of things to find my happy medium. So I did that. And this episode is really just going to be sharing what I've learned along the way, how to not get attached so fast, but how to allow yourself to be attached, what I've learned through first dates. So getting back into that story. Also, sorry, I'll never learn to how to stay on track. I've had so many people over the years be like, you need to write down like a script for the show so that way you can stay on track. Babe, I have a whole outline here. It's my brain. I don't know what to tell you. This is how my brain works. If you can't listen, if you can't keep up, I do understand. You probably just don't have ADHD, and for that, I'm happy for you. Anyways, I became very hyper independent, and in the past 3 years, I've been really working on finding that secure, you know, attachment style and being healthier. I think for a while as well, I was like, I don't need anybody. That is a weakness. I am happy on my own. And it's like, yes, babe, you are so happy on your own. No, you don't need anybody. But humans biologically crave community. We do need community. You do not need to, nor should you do everything alone. Please welcome love into your life, whether it be through friendships or through your family or through romantic connections. Allow love into your life because you deserve it. Stop being such a hard ass. Yes, you can do everything on your own, but that doesn't mean you have to. Get over yourself. So the past year or so, I've been going on a lot of dates and putting myself out there for the reasons of, one, I want a relationship now, and I'm finally allowing myself to admit that without feeling ashamed of it. I used to be so ashamed of the fact that, like, oh my God, I want love. Don't we all? Girl, don't we all? We all want love. Stop being so ashamed of that. But I realized I'm not gonna find it if I'm not trying to. And I'm so sick of that bullshit quote of like, you'll find it when you're not looking. Shut up. In this day and age, that's not the case. For some people, sure, you might have a meet cute through mutual friends or at the grocery store, but like, for someone like me who only leaves my house to go to the gym and to work out of cafes, I'm not gonna meet someone out and about out of magic. Like, I don't leave my house. I have to actively put myself into those positions. And that's gonna be one of my tips, is to put yourself into places where your dream partner would be. But before I get into that, I've just been going on a lot of dates. And also, I was really terrified to do that at first because I had been out of the game for so long. It made me so unbelievably anxious, the thought of even going on a date. And I know that's the case for so many people, so I want to help you out with that, because it doesn't have to be that way. So I'm going to give you some tips on how to get back into dating, how to have a good first date. But first, I do want to talk about the attachment styles a bit. So like I said, I have a whole YouTube video on this. It's not a podcast episode, but honestly, if you want me to make a whole podcast episode on it, I can, but I have the whole YouTube video. So there are 4 attachment styles mainly. There are some other branches, but we have anxious, avoidant, secure, and then we also have anxious avoidant, a mixture of the two. For each one, I'm not going to go super in depth in this because I have a whole YouTube video on it. I'm just going to list a few things. So avoidant, it's pretty straightforward. Avoidant is the hyper independent, that I don't want a relationship. Some telltale signs of an avoidant person: history of short flings, affection comes with mixed signals, nitpicking flaws in people, low tolerance for conflict. So like, if you get into an argument, okay, fine, then we're done. Hyper independence, views vulnerability as weakness, uncomfortable with intimacy and closeness. They have something called a phantom ex, and this is essentially, they'll have a relationship, and in the relationship, they're picking apart everything in their partner. They're pushing their partner away. They're fearing the intimacy. They're fearing the closeness. And then eventually they break up. And then for the rest of their life, not really, but for a really long time after that, they view this person as like the one that got away. And therefore it's the phantom ex. And then they'll start comparing everyone in their life to that phantom ex because they think they're the one that got away. So it's like a hindsight is 50-50 type of thing. When they're in a relationship, they're seeing all the flaws in their partner as a way to push them away, as a way of like, they're fearing intimacy, so they're pushing them away and being avoidant by picking out the flaws in this person. And then when they successfully push them away all the way and they end things, they're realizing, oh, that was actually a really cool person. So they have this phantom ex and they carry them into next relationships as a means of continuing to be avoidant. So rather than picking out the flaws in their new person, they're sort of doing that, but they're also comparing them to their ex who they were also picking out the flaws in. See what I mean? It's a never-ending cycle. Or they always have this idea of the one. So they're either comparing their current partners to a phantom ex who they also picked everything apart in, or they're comparing their partners to their idea of their perfect soulmate, and they're picking out their flaws and being like, the one wouldn't do that. And then overly flirtatious, I've been there before. Like I said, I've been both anxious and I've been avoidant. And I've been there where you're picking out flaws in people. And it gets a bit exhausting because at some point you're like, okay, well, is this an actual flaw of this person? And am I being avoidant? Or like, is this a genuine red flag? Is this a genuine standard of mine that they're not meeting? What I recommend for you in this situation is to write a list of non-negotiables. I recommend everybody do this. Write a list of non-negotiables. That way, if you're avoidant, you can look at this person and be like, okay, you're doing this thing that I don't necessarily love, but I think it's me being avoidant because it's not on my list of non-negotiables. Moving on to anxious. Anxious attachment styles often show signs of codependency, not able to self-regulate your emotions, tends to need a lot of validation and reassurance, intense desire for closeness, fears abandonment, feels unworthy of love. You feel like, I can't leave this person because I'll never have another. I'll never find someone else who loves me. You're afraid of being alone. You heavily rely on other people, things like that. One of my biggest tips for an anxious attachment style is to keep your options open. I think, you know, going back to how to stop getting attached so fast, an avoidant person won't really struggle with this because they don't get attached really at all. The people who struggle the most with getting attached too fast is the anxious attachment style. A secure attachment style has that healthy attachment and healthy detachment. The avoidant attachment style is just almost completely detached. The anxious attachment is overly attached. My tips for you is to keep your options open, you know? When you're first going on dates with people, stop idolizing them. See them for who they really are. There's a quote that says, put the earmuffs on and keep the blinders off. Stop listening to people's words and look at what they're showing you. People show you who they are. They try to tell you who they are, but they will always show you. Let someone's actions speak for themselves. Stop idolizing people. If you're in the first few months of seeing someone, you really don't know them yet, okay? So see them for who they are, not for who you think they are or who you want them to be. And we're gonna get into this a bit more, but before I do, I just wanna say keep your options open. When you're first dating someone, and even before you're exclusive with someone, keep going on dates with other people, even if it's only for the sole reason of showing yourself that you have plenty of options. Because remember, that anxious attachment style fears that they're gonna be alone forever, fears that there's no one else out there for them. So when you're going on more dates and seeing, oh no, there are people out there for me, you are keeping your options open and you're realizing that you don't need to allow someone to get away with bullshit and you don't have to settle for things out of fear of never finding anyone else because you have plenty other options. But I do just wanna say, if you are very aware and, you know, as I'm speaking these things, you're like, okay, yes, I am super anxious, I am super avoidant. I'm never gonna say it's very difficult to find a healthy love if you are very anxious or very avoidant. So I would really recommend taking time to work through these things. And that's what I did for those, you know, I mean, for the past 5 years, I've actively been working on them, but especially the first two there. Work on yourself. That way your next relationship has the highest success rate it possibly can. Okay. And then the secure attachment style, comfortable being alone, but also comfortable in close relationships. You're able to trust others. You're able to ask for help. You're able to regulate your own emotions, but you're also able to walk away when it's necessary. So those are just a bit of a rundown on the attachment styles. I know I didn't dive into anxious avoidant, but it's pretty much a combination of both. You experience both of those things, and it's a push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. If you want to learn more, go listen to that entire YouTube video that I told you about. I don't know exactly how to say this, but like, I'm still single, so I clearly haven't had a super successful experience with dating, but at this point in time, I've learned a lot, and I've also gotten very good at having successful first dates. Okay, now I want to tell you some tips about how to have a good first date, and I have a lot of random tips that will be coming in throughout this episode, but for right now, let's talk about how to have a good first date. Stop getting so in your head. When you go into a first date, and if you are someone who is super nervous about it, stop worrying, will they like me? Will they be attracted to me? Will they think I'm funny? Instead, worry about, will I like them? Will I be attracted to them? Why think they're funny? If you are constantly worrying about if other people will like you, maybe that's another sign to just sit with yourself for a little bit longer to really have confidence in yourself. Confidence is so key when dating, because otherwise it can really crush your confidence if you aren't already secure in yourself, because not everyone's going to be interested in you. Not everybody's going to be attracted to you. Not everybody's going to have a good date with you or enjoy time with you or want to go on another date, but that says nothing about you unless you're just being a shithead. You're not going to be interested in everybody. You're not going to be attracted to everybody, and that's okay. So that's why having a very strong sense of self, confidence, self-esteem, self-worth before going into dating can be super helpful, because it won't tear you down. Here's the thing. It's also understandable to be confident in yourself and to still be nervous about going on dates. I was. So what I first started doing when I was very new to dating is I was going on dates with people who I wasn't super interested in. And I know that sounds weird, but hear me out. Going into a date with someone you are straight off the bat very interested in, very attracted to, it's very scary, right? There's a lot on the line. It feels like a lot of pressure because it could go really well and you're scared you're going to mess it up. So when I was first getting into dating and I had no idea how to go on a first date and I was terrified of the idea of it, I was just matching with people on dating apps who, like, yeah, I was attracted to. I wasn't out here thinking they were butt ugly, but it wasn't like, holy shit, that's the hottest person I've ever seen in my life. Holy shit, that's the funniest person I ever seen in my life. I was just going on dates with people just to get the experience and people that I wasn't necessarily super interested in, but I did know that there was still a chance, right? So it wasn't like necessarily my type to a T, but also it was a good, doing this is good for a lot of reasons because one, you're able to get practice in without it feeling like there's so much pressure on the line. And also you're still giving people a chance because a lot of the times people will have a very set type in their head and then the person they end up with isn't their type or wasn't their traditional type that they thought of. So it's giving people a chance, right? So I highly recommend that. I also recommend for the date wearing something you're comfortable in and choosing the outfit before the day of the date. Try to set yourself up for as much success as possible when the day of the date comes. Wear your go-to outfit that you always wear. You don't have to dress up crazy for a date. You want to be yourself, right? Be the best version of yourself, essentially. So don't wear an outfit that you'd never wear. Wear your go-to outfit that you know you feel good in, you know you're comfortable in, you know you're confident in. Wear that. Make that be one less thing you have to worry about. Take care of the outfit. Also, be yourself. Include your humor. Show your personality. Talk the way you normally talk. But obviously, you're making a first impression on someone, but don't act like you're going into a job interview because you're not. You want this person to know who you are because if you off the bat, you're showing people who you are, that's a sure sign way. That's not a saying. But that's how you're going to avoid wasting your time because if you're not actually showing your personality until date 3 or 4, they're not knowing who you are, right? And they're dating a character that you created in your head, and that's not fair to anybody. So be yourself, but be the best version of yourself. And on the topic of not making the date so much like an interview, don't just do the, okay, what do you do for work? Tell me, like, it needs to be surface level, but it doesn't have to be boring. You don't need to have first dates go so deep. You're not trying to figure out if this is your soulmate. You're just trying to figure out if you can vibe, if you can have fun, if you can have a good conversation. That's all that matters here. So ask fun questions like, what are some of your goals? What were you like as a kid? I always like to ask if they drink or they smoke. What are they like when they're drunk? Tell me a funny story from when you're drunk. I promise, even I will still sometimes before a date worry like, what are we going to talk about? You know how to have a conversation. And if you don't, find something to talk about something on the menu. Oh my God, grilled cheese. I used to make grilled cheeses all the time growing up with my grandmother. Tell me about your grandparents. Or I really like your shirt. I really like your style. Where's your favorite store to shop from? Like, it doesn't have to be that crazy, but don't make it so much like a job interview. Throw in funny stories, ask them about funny stories. It doesn't just have to be the back and forth questions asking. Also, another tip, and this is something I've been implementing into every area of my life, but think about the things that people do that make you feel really good and then do that to people. And do this on first dates, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, but I really like it when someone remembers something that I said and does a callback to it. So I make sure I do that on the date. Okay, now I want to get into how to avoid wasting your time, because I believe I've went on like 12 dates in the past year or something like that. And these are just some things that I've learned along the way, because when you're going on a lot of dates, especially off of dating apps, it's very easy to feel like you're wasting your time because there are going to be a lot of people who just aren't your vibe, especially on dating apps, because it's very hard to get a read for someone or to even know if you're attracted to someone just through the phone. So these are some things that I've learned, because once again, if you're going on a lot of dates, that's a lot of energy. I'm someone who puts everything into every interaction, whether I'm interested in you or not. If I show up to a date and I immediately know I'm not interested, which has happened recently, I'm still going to give you my all. So I would rather avoid that if I can, and here's some ways to do so. FaceTime before the date for many reasons. One, especially if you met them on a dating app, you'll start to see like what they actually look like, because a lot of times people don't really look exactly like what they look like in their picture, and you can see if you're attracted to them. I'm past the point where I think this is shallow. Attraction is a lot in a relationship. You need to know if you're attracted to someone, and it's hard to do that just through a dating app, especially for someone like me, where a lot of the attraction to someone is their voice, the way they speak, their energy, their sense of humor. So FaceTime before a date, number one, so you can actually see what they look like, hear their voice. I didn't realize how big voice was to me until I went on a date recently and I couldn't stand the man's voice. And I was like, oh, I could never. And it sounds shallow, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be with someone if you can't stand the sound of their voice. Also, FaceTiming is good because you can get on the same page of what you're looking for. I highly recommend doing this before the date, because if you get to the date and realize, oh, you're just looking for a casual hookup and I'm looking for the love of my life, well, that's never going to work out and you just wasted your time. To see if you have a connection. This is something you're going to notice right off of the bat through FaceTime as well. It's a shitty feeling getting to a date and immediately realizing, oh, I'm not attracted to you. Oh, we don't have a connection. Blah, 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 blah. And now I have to sit through this date. So the FaceTime is great to also get the nerves out. See if you can still have a good conversation. See if the banter's there. I also like the FaceTime because you're still avoiding text. I do not want to get to know someone over text. I don't want to get to know you over the phone, but especially over text. For a lot of reasons. Number one, I'm not going to remember a single thing you told me over text until we meet in person. I have no one to attach these messages to. I don't know you. You're just a picture in my head. I can't attach this to anyone, so I'm not going to remember it. I think a lot of the times, too, I hear people's texts in their voice. So when I don't know what your voice sounds like, I can't remember it. Also, you don't know them. And when you're texting, you're sort of creating the base of your relationship on something that's not real, because you don't know this person. And now you're creating this picture of who they are based off of your text, and that's not who they are. So try to avoid texting before a first date as much as possible. Text to set up the date, maybe 3 texts a day max, but don't be diving into deep conversations over text. And I would even say in between dates 2 and 3 and 3 and 4, like, don't be texting a crazy amount. Leave the getting to know process to the dates. Don't get to know someone over text, trust me, and don't idolize them. This will help you not to get attached so fast and not to idolize them so fast when you're not texting constantly, because you're leaving the getting to know them part to the date, and you're not creating this false reality in your head based off of text messages. Another way to avoid wasting your time, figure out your non-negotiables and stick to them. So this isn't a non-negotiable for me, but with the FaceTime thing in the past, this actually just happened to me recently. I matched with a guy on Bumble and we hit it off immediately, and I skipped the FaceTime thing and I was texting him before the first date, and then we didn't even end up going on a date because he was flaky and I wasted a whole week of my time when I could have just FaceTimed him immediately, found out what he was looking for and realized it wasn't aligned, and then I wouldn't have wasted my time. So learn from my mistakes. But figure out your non-negotiables and stick to them. This is going to look different for everybody. I can list you some of my non-negotiables. Number one, good hygiene. Non-negotiable. I can't do it if you don't take care of yourself. Good hygiene and self-care, you know, taking care of yourself, upkeep, personal hygiene, but also taking care of your body, going to the gym, eating well, not drinking too much, things like that. Being financially responsible. You don't have to be loaded rich. That's something that's important to me, is to create generational wealth for my children. It needs to be important to you as well. You need to be smart with your money and at least have a plan on how you're going to get there. I need to feel safe. I need to be with someone who makes me feel safe, both emotionally, physically, spiritually. Like, I need this person to make me feel safe and protected. And consistency and follow through. Consistency, follow through, consideration, those all sort of go with it. Something that it's happened to me twice now recently, it's actually currently happening to me today, is a guy will be like, okay, let's go on a date on Saturday. Let's plan for Saturday. And I'm like, okay. And then they never set it up. They never give me a place. They never give me a time. And then the day of will come around and they'll text me, hey, how's this time sound? And it's in 2 hours. No, that doesn't sound good to me. You needed to set that date up beforehand. So now I know these are not my non-negotiables. I'm willing to communicate with them. However, if it's not going to work this early on, we're just not compatible. I need someone who is consistent. I need someone who has that follow through, and I don't want to have to teach you on my non-negotiables. A lot of things can be taught. A lot of things can be communicated through. But when it comes to something that is non-negotiable to me because it's super important, I'm not willing to teach you my non-negotiables because I view that as the bare minimum. I view you taking the time and considering during my time to set up a date 2-3 days in advance, at least the night before, not waiting until the day of to communicate with me, because that shows me you don't respect my time, you don't respect me, and you actually don't really care that much about this date. So if you can't even follow through with the bare minimum for me, it's not going to work later down the line. I'm not going to teach you how to give me the bare minimum. That may not be someone else's non-negotiables, and they may be willing to work through it, and that's completely fine. But for me, that is not fine. So in order to avoid wasting my time, I know what my non-negotiables are, and I'm not willing to settle with anything less than them. With that being said, people will not be perfect. People will not check out off every single box for you. So I used to have this ridiculously long list of standards of like probably 100 things of what my perfect person will be like. Guess what? Perfect person doesn't exist. So that's why it's important to figure out your non-negotiables, where you must tick off these boxes for me, and the rest we could work through, right? I'm not expecting anyone to be perfect. And in that same breath, stop ignoring the red flags. There's a perfect middle ground of where you're not being too picky, but you're also not settling. If you know it won't work out early on, why are you entertaining it? I've done that in the past where I've seen red flags and they've done things very early on where they're supposed to be on their best behavior and I let it go. That's what I learned. If someone's messing up that early on, what is going to happen later down the line? You're supposed to be courting me right now and you're acting like a fool. How are you going to act when you get comfortable? Another thing that I used to have to ask myself was, am I being too picky? Because I was way too picky. A question that I ask myself now, you know, if I'm in a situation where, for example, like with this date where I'm like, oh, should I have given him another chance? Was I being too harsh? Ask yourself, are you able to meet your own standards? And if the answer is yes, then you're not being too picky. You deserve the energy that you will give to other people. You deserve the love that you will give to other people. And if you are able to meet your own standards, if you are able to give yourself the things that you're asking for, and you're also able to give your partner the things that you're asking for, then you're not being too picky. Once again, you can't expect someone to meet every single standard, but if situations are coming up where you're like, should I have let that slide? Would you have let yourself treat yourself that way? And the reason I say this is because I really enjoy my solitude. I treat myself very well. I really enjoy being alone. My solitude is so sweet that you have to make my life sweeter in order to be in it. I'm not going to get into a relationship with someone who decreases my quality of life. You have to add something. Your company has to be better than my solitude. So you have to treat me as good as, if not better than, I treat myself. If you're going to be picky, if you're going to have high standards, then you also have to be someone of high standard. You also have to be someone of high value. Be the person that your dream partner would want to be with. You cannot sit here and have this long list of standards of they have to be rich and they have to be very fit and they have to take care of their body and they have to be driven, and you sit on your ass all day and you don't have any goals and you don't take care of your body and you treat people like shit. You can't demand princess treatment if you're treating people like a fucking peasant. That's not how that works. You can't demand princess treatment if you've never once viewed yourself as a princess and you've never treated yourself as a princess. You cannot demand treatment from other people that you aren't also willing to live up to and give. So be the person that your dream partner would want to be with. I feel like I'm very good at this. I am very much so the person that my dream partner would want to be with, but there was one area of my life recently where I realized I need to change this. And I had a couple friends in my life who were pretty toxic, honestly. And they just did things that did not sit right with me. And I honestly had to sit with myself and I was like, damn, if I had a partner and he had friends who behaved the way that my friends are behaving, I would question him. I would be like, why are you entertaining friends like this? Is that how you view people? Are you comfortable with this behavior? Because I had friends who were very toxic in their relationships. And it would sort of be like if your partner had friends who was constantly cheating on their partners and then they were still friends with them. It's like, yes, you can still be friends with them, but you also don't have to accept that behavior. So I had to create some boundaries and set some distance in those friendships because I knew if I got a partner, I could not say shit if he was like, why are you friends with that person? They're very toxic. Is that how you treat relationships? Is that how you're going to treat me? Is that how you feel? No. So I had to change some things. I know the type of person that I want to be with. I want to be with a very high value person, and everyone is high value. I hate that fucking saying. It sounds like Andrew Tate. But you get what I'm saying. Therefore, I have to be a high value person. I have to have these standards. I have to live this certain life. And I'm not saying change everything about yourself for people. Be yourself, but be the best version of yourself if you want someone else's best version as well. Some other random tips that I have, and like I said, these are just my tips. You don't have to follow any of these if you don't want to. Like, this is just me. Coffee dates over dinner, 10 out of 10 times. Also, I would say drinks over dinner as well, but I don't drink, so there's that. But I love a good coffee date over a meal date because you can leave whenever you want to. I say this as the last coffee date I went on, it was 2.5 hours long and I wasn't even interested in the guy because I'm not the greatest yet at getting out of dates. But I could also talk to a brick wall. As you can tell, I've been talking to myself for 35 minutes. Walking is also a really fun date. Doing things that are active is really fun. Because it takes the pressure off of just sitting and looking at someone. There's something to fill the silence. Like, walking in silence is completely fine. That's another first date tip. Get comfortable with silence. It doesn't have to be awkward. You can sit there. You don't have to be talking constantly. When someone asks you, what are you looking for? I've learned the best thing that you can say is, I'll know it when I see it. Because sometimes, especially, no, I guess it can go for everybody. When you tell someone all of the traits that you're looking for, I've noticed, I mean, I have experience with dating men. Men will sometimes change certain things about themselves to be what you're looking for, whether it be because they're really interested in you and they want it to work, or because they are just trying to get you to hook up with them. Either way, that's not what we want. I don't want you to change for me, because then you'll resent me down the line, or you'll revert back to your old ways or whatever. I know what I'm looking for, and I'll know it when I see it. And if it's you, then great. But that's what I've just started to say. I'll know it when I see it. That's all that matters. Go outside of your typical type here and there. It might surprise you. Give yourself the love you want from others until someone comes along and gives it to you. And even then, keep giving yourself the love that you want. And just because someone is nice, just because you have good conversation, doesn't mean they're your person. There's a lot more that goes into a relationship than someone being nice or someone having good conversation. Remember your non-negotiables. Also, I would say within the first few dates, make sure you're on the same page with your morals and your ethics, with what you want out of life, the important things. So many people get into fucking relationships and then end up breaking up because they realize, oh, I want kids and you don't. Or, oh, we would raise children very differently. I'm not saying have this conversation on the first date, but save yourself the time and the heartbreak. Okay, I have a whole other list here of like dating app red flags, so I'm more than happy to make a whole episode on like dating apps. If that's something that you'd be interested, let me know. But I think I'm gonna wrap up this episode here. I'll probably end up making a part two on this because I know I have so much more to say, but my camera's about to die and I'm tired of talking. Thank you so much for listening, friends. If you enjoyed, give it a thumbs up on YouTube, leave a comment down below what you want me to talk about. Subscribe if you're on Spotify or Apple, leave 5-star rating. Follow me on Instagram at TheAlice and LaRue. That's all of my social medias, including YouTube. Make sure you go subscribe and watch the vlogs. But I love you, friends. I'm so happy to be back podcasting. I've missed you to death. And with that being said, I'll see you in the next one. You know what we say here. You deserve healthy love. Go get it. Love you.